As I mentioned, today's feast of St. Mark is a beautiful one for anyone who has love for the Word. We who are called to ponder the Word each day should appreciate a feast like this. St. Mark is honored as an evangelist. He was not one of the 12, so we can't call him an apostle. What he's most famous for is writing a gospel. That's evangelization. And the Gospels, among all the books of the Bible, are the crown jewels. The whole Bible is the Word of God. The whole Bible is the inspired Word. The New Testament, which proclaims most fully the revelation of God, stands out. But in the New Testament, the four Gospels are the best. That's why when we have the gospel read in a mass, we stand up and sing Alleluia. We don't stand up and sing Alleluia for anything else, but for a reading of the gospel, we stand up and sing Alleluia, praise the Lord. We're so joyful to have received this revelation of God. And St. Mark is one of the four who has handed on to us a written account, a written gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The older tradition is that the first gospel was written by Matthew. That's why Matthew's the first gospel in the Bible. According to that tradition, Matthew, because he was an apostle, he wrote a gospel. And then Mark, who was not an apostle but was a missionary to the Gentiles, he took Matthew's gospel and shortened it down, took out all the references to Jewish practices and things like that, because he was writing to Gentiles and they wouldn't understand that stuff anyway. Well, in the last, maybe 200 years, 150 years, the scholarship has changed its opinion about that. Now, most Bible scholars would say Mark is the first of the Gospels. It's the shortest. They think it was written around the year 70, right around the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, either right before or right after. The theory is that Mark saw, with the changes going on, that a written account was needed. The gospel had been proclaimed for 30 years already, 40 years, by oral tradition, but he saw this need for a written gospel, wrote it down, and that, according to the newer thinking, Matthew took Mark's gospel and expanded it based on his own personal experience of being an apostle and also other sources. Oh, we don't know. We don't know. And it doesn't matter that much because it's the Word of God always has two authors, the human author, in this case Mark, and the divine author, God. So God wrote all the gospels. It's his word. Anyway, the reason why it's an interesting question to know which one is first, because the literary form known as gospel is a new thing. It's a new invention. And if Mark wrote the first one, he invented this new form of literature. And that's quite a striking thing. The Bible is full of all kinds of literature. You know, there are letters and there are songs and there are prayers and there's prophecies and histories and mystical writings, and it's a collection of all sorts of literature. But and all of those existed in the ancient world. I mean, people wrote letters and people wrote songs and prayers and histories. That's not so unusual. But there was no such thing as a gospel. In the Greek world, the term gospel was used to describe news of a victory. So if a general was coming back from a victory in battle, they would say, here's the gospel. Here's the good news is that we defeated the Amalekites or whoever. So Mark stole that word from the Greeks and he applied it to Jesus Christ. At the very beginning of his book, it's always good to pick up a Bible. At the very beginning of Mark's gospel, the very first verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he invented a new type of literature to proclaim a new message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he launches into talking about John the Baptist. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark's gospel is sometimes referred to as the lion, or Mark himself, the lion of the gospels. Or sometimes a winged lion. If you see images of the evangelists, the lion is Mark. Now, who is this Mark? This is the funny thing about the scriptural writers. We often don't know that much about them. We know Mark was not one of the 12. He's usually identified as John Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, who joined Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, and that at some point didn't join them as they continued. Later on, we know that Mark was with Paul in Rome, and we also know from today's first reading that he was with Peter in Rome. Then the tradition is that he established a church in Alexandria, which is in Egypt. So Mark really got around from the Holy Land. They say he's from Jerusalem. From the Holy Land, he was in Rome, he was in Egypt, and he traveled around with Paul and Barnabas. So he was a man who was really dedicated to proclaiming the gospel. First of all, by preaching, by traveling. But at some point he wrote down this short and rather intense summary of Jesus' ministry. Now those who join the Anuim and those of you who follow the daily liturgy might have noticed that on Saturday we had the conclusion, almost the conclusion of Mark's gospel. It was that passage that from which we took our theme for our thematic mass, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel. That was at the conclusion of the gospel on Saturday. And that's the first line of today's gospel. So it's as if and this is unique, that it happened that the Saturday in the octave of Easter is the last weekday before the feast of St. Mark, Monday. Anyway, so what we have at the end of Mark's gospel, this is another interesting thing, and one of the curious ways God communicates his word to us. The scholars think that the ending of Mark's gospel was lost or changed. The part that they say is certainly from the original text of Mark's gospel is the passage about the resurrection, John chapter 16. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, they go to the tomb. It's an Easter reading, very early in the morning, the sun had just risen, first day of the week. They come to the tomb, they're wondering about who's going to roll the stone away, and they get there and the stone is already rolled away. And then they enter the tomb and they meet an angel. The angel says, don't be amazed, you're seeking Jesus, the crucified. He has been raised, he is not here. So this is the proclamation of the resurrection. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you. Then verse 8. Then they went out and fled from the tomb, seized with trembling and bewilderment. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And according to the scholars, that's the end of Mark's gospel. The women getting the good news of the resurrection and running away and not telling anybody. Now, again, scholars, they sometimes come up with weird ideas. But there is a continuation of that Gospel of Mark, which is what we heard on Saturday. A summary of what happened, about Mary Magdalene meeting the risen Lord, about the two disciples meeting the risen Lord on the way, which is recounted in Luke's Gospel. And then what we hear today. What Jesus rebuking the 11, that was in Saturday's gospel. He rebuked them for not believing the witnesses. And then he told them, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. So the women were told, go tell the apostles. They ran away in terror. Jesus comes and tells the apostles, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel. And then, this is the gospel we heard today, the reading we heard today. This is the end of Mark's account. Jesus ascends into heaven, and the apostles go everywhere. What's the last line? They went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. So from beginning to end, this is gospel. The beginning, the very first verse of Mark's gospel says, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The very end, Jesus has ascended to the Father, and they went out and they proclaimed the gospel everywhere. Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel. Jesus didn't say, write down a gospel. He just said, proclaim the gospel. Meaning, do anything you can to make known this news, which is too good to be contained, to be withheld. It has to be proclaimed. That's why I love the idea that Mark created a whole new form, a whole new literary form, just to make this known. That kind of creativity is part of the gospel itself. It's part of being led by the Holy Spirit. And we should see this in every generation. There's always new ways. There are always new possibilities because there's always a new need for the gospel to be proclaimed. Nowadays, of course, it's social media, technology, travel, interaction with different cultures, dialogue, and all these things that are our modern concerns. We have to be creative. We have to come up with ways to make known the gospel. Let me just mention a little bit from today's first reading. It's hard to know what readings to choose when you're talking about evangelists, because the whole gospel is evangelization. So the church chooses the end of Mark's gospel and a passage from the end of the first letter of St. Peter. Probably the most obvious reason for choosing this passage is that he mentions Mark. St. Peter mentions Mark. He says in his concluding salutation, he says, the chosen one at Babylon sends you greeting. That's code word for Rome. As does Mark, my son. So Mark was in Rome with Peter. But earlier on in this reading chosen for the Feast of St. Mark, we hear Peter's instructions. And since Peter wrote this and Mark was Peter's assistant or Peter's interpreter, this message must have sunk deep into Mark. Clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another, for God opposes the proud but bestows favor on the humble. Clothe yourselves with humility. Mark clothes himself with humility so much that he never mentions himself in the gospel. He doesn't mention himself. The only indication that the scholars think might refer to Mark is that strange passage where, when Jesus was arrested, they laid hands on a young man and he fled, leaving his cloak behind. He ran away naked. So it's only in Mark's gospel, and people wonder, where did that detail come from? What does it mean? Some people say, well, maybe that's Mark himself. Maybe he was a young man, he ran away naked, and he instead of clothing himself with self-defense or self-proclamation or anything about himself, he just clothed himself in humility. He dedicated himself not to proclaiming his own message, his own gospel, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a good lesson for us, because you know how it is in our times. People are preoccupied with proclaiming themselves. Every selfie and every blogger and every vlogger and every social media account and Twitter and all these things, people for the most part are just proclaiming themselves. That's exactly what Mark didn't do. That's why we don't know him very well. But he did proclaim Jesus Christ, and that's why we know Jesus Christ, because he's revealed in the Gospels. A little bit later on in this passage, Peter talks about the devil. Be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in faith. Now, the reason that this struck me is because the image for Mark's gospel is the lion. The devil is a roaring lion, and he'll pick out anyone he can devour. But the gospel is also a lion, a much more powerful lion. The word of God is one of the greatest weapons we have against the word of Satan. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the devil? He answered the temptations by quoting the word of God. So if you find yourself attacked by the roaring lion, the devil, you can turn to St. Mark and use the roaring lion of the gospel to overcome him. The power of the gospel, which is truth, is always more powerful than the roaring lion who spews out lies. Okay, well, this is a great feast for us because it's a feast of evangelization. It's also a feast of creativity in making known the word. It's a feast of perseverance, a lifetime of evangelizing. A feast of humility. A feast of defeating the devil. So with all these insights into St. Mark, we ask him to intercede for us, that we too may be genuine, persevering, humble proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ.